The Initial Reaction Podcast is with you once again. I am J.R. Radcliffe from Lake Country Publications and Now Newspapers, joined on the other line by J.P. Kadoran, once again in his car touring the countryside. He is with Spectrum Sports. Talk to your people, J.P.
I just want to know how you are. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm taken aback by your sudden show of interest in my life, I have to be honest.
Good. I have you right where I want you.
Yeah, I know. It's true. So we really have one big topic to discuss today. That is a big one in the prep sports world, the prep football world to be specific, and it involves your alma mater, Arrowhead. Former football coach Greg Mauling, who led them to four straight state championship games before leaving to take a job in Minnesota for this past season, is back going to Oconomowoc High School. He's going to be hired by the former AD at Arrowhead, who hired him over there, Kevin Flegner. And he is going to lead the Raccoons football team. Ryan McMillan took a job at Muskego to be athletics director over there. That was last week's news. This week's news is that Greg Mauling is back in Wisconsin. I don't know if that caught you off guard. I mean, I think most people thought that this was a possibility for the last week or so. But, you know, 2 weeks ago, I'm not sure anybody saw a scenario where Greg Mauling would be coaching in the Classic Eight again. That had to be pretty surprising to you, JP.
Yeah, I was totally surprised because when he left Arrowhead, one of the big reasons was being closer to his family out in one of the Dakotas. I forget which. But then I saw in, you know, all of your stuff that his wife took a position down in Chicago. And so now they obviously want to be as close as they can to that. So really interesting, just that part alone to me. There's obviously tons of interest in terms of, I mean, already I've told my football producer that week six we should go ahead and try and reserve a certain game at a certain stadium for the rematch. I mean, there's so much to it from a football perspective, but just from the pure life perspective, that's just so interesting how move to Minnesota, try and get closer back to home, and then before you know it, your wife takes a job down in Chicago, and then you try and move, you know, try and find a job yourself. I just found that part of it really interesting.
September 22nd is the date you're mentioning when Arrowhead hosts Oconomowoc, and I do think that's going to be a really good game this year, so it's going to be very, very exciting. I don't know where those teams will be by week six in terms of record. I think Arrowhead is going to be a little bit down this next year, kind of where they were this past year. Yeah, they did get beat, you may remember, by Waukesha North in the Classic Eight opener, which was sort of the big surprise of the early first half of the year, really. Yeah. They rallied back. They made the playoffs. It wasn't typical Arrowhead. They did not get deep into the playoffs, but still a very good team, you know, a solid team. In the Classic Eight, if you make the playoffs, you are absolutely a good to great team. And that's the thing about this league, and you don't know how Oconomowoc, which is coming over from the Little Ten for next year, the Little Ten is disbanding. Oconomowoc joins the Classic Eight. You don't know how they're gonna adapt right away for any sport, but especially football, where that is just routinely the very best conference in the state of Wisconsin. I mean, the football is insane. We had 2 years ago a situation where three teams made state championship games with Waukesha West in D2, CMH in D3. CMH wins the D3 state title the last year, this past fall. So we're talking about some of the best Hall of Fame coaches across the board. Oconomowoc does have their work cut out for them, but it's hard to, you know, say that this is definitely not a step backward, hiring somebody who has such great success.
Well, yeah, that's one of the quotes that stuck with me is that Kevin Flegner was saying that they built up such momentum in the past few years that they didn't want to take a gamble on a hire and let that momentum fizzle out. And it's going to be tough because they lose, I think it was 10 all-conference selections. I want to say 8-2. They lost to Wisco late in the year for their first loss. And I think they lost to Middleton the first round of the playoffs. So they have been very good the past few years. I think like 8-1. They made it to level 3 and faced off against Arrowhead in an epic battle 2 years ago, right? So, yeah, they have a lot of momentum, and they just want to keep it going, and you can't really do much better than one of the guys who had one of the best runs in state history as a coach.
Kevin Flegner, when I talked to him, told me something. There's going to be an obvious attention on the idea of Arrowhead guys, of that whole operation moving just from Arrowhead a few miles away to Oconomowoc. Kevin Flegner came from Arrowhead, is now at Oconomowoc. Mauling, obviously. Vince Mancuso, who led the Arrowhead baseball team to the state championship game, himself is at Oconomowoc now. He's an assistant on the baseball team. And Kevin made this point that I think is really good. Those guys aren't Arrowhead guys. They worked at Arrowhead for a few years. They're from other parts of the – Kevin is from Randolph. Vince Mancuso is from the northern part of the state. Greg Mulling is from North Dakota. So it's not like these guys have grown up in the Heartland area. They worked there, and obviously they're very passionate about what they did when they were there. But now they're just – really, they're just moving over to another school. And I think – it's interesting. I think what Kevin Flagner is doing is very interesting. He really has an emphasis on bringing in people who are elite level coaches, and they are good people too, which is great, sort of a great byproduct of the people that he's made friends with over the years here. I mean, he's got good people in there, but Oconomowoc is they're for real. They're taking a step forward. This isn't guys who've been in the building for 15, 20 years and just have done a long tenure in one particular sport or another. I mean, they are really trying to raise the bar of the athletics program from pretty good in some areas to decent and to be one of the elite programs in the state and the area. And you're going to have to do that in the Classic 8 because there's plenty of those in the Classic 8. So he's not messing around. He's bringing in the people that he thinks are going to take that program to an absolute next level. I think he's doing a great job of it.
Yeah, and like facilities wise, you know, they've done well too. And I start to think about like the football side of things, and I feel a little bit bad for the kids that they're going to get wrapped up in this, because I don't know. I mean, there are going to be some Arrowhead kids who were sophomores and juniors under Greg Mulling that they would have to be sophomores that are going to be seniors now, and they're going to have to face him. But really, like, it's not about that for a lot of these kids. For a lot of these kids, like, this was going to be a pretty good game anyway, you know, before this happened. It was going to be where Oconomowoc is trying to assert itself in its new league, and they're going to do it against one of the perennial title contenders in all of the states. So already that was, not to mention their rivals, and certain kids from Oconomowoc go to Arrowhead, and then I think there's a little bit the other way around, not much, but it was already going to be a big game. And so I think this just makes it even bigger. And, you know, I'm not going to shy away from it. You're not going to shy away from it. It's going to be a big week whenever that happens. But I don't know. I kind of feel bad for the kids getting wrapped up in it because they just want to win another game, you know?
That's true. It's an unavoidable storyline. You can't just pretend it's not there. But you're right. It isn't ultimately going to be about anybody except the kids who attend Oconomowoc and the kids who attend Arrowhead. I understand that. I know that there is a certain duality there. Also, I know this was an extremely difficult decision for Greg Mulling, because he went to the Minnesota program in Coon Rapids with every intention of helping them rebuild. And this opportunity sort of presented itself, stars sort of aligned. And I know that it was a really, really hard decision, because he had to walk away from a program after 1 year to come back to Wisconsin. So I did get a chance to talk to Greg Mulling. I wanted to share that interview with you here. His team did go 0-9 last year in Minnesota, but he was going up against some really powerful teams. The team he saw back-to-back weeks to end the season, they won the state title in 6A, which is the biggest schools Minnesota has to offer. Four of his team's losses came against squads that made the 6A state semifinals. So the Classic 8 of Minnesota was a difficult place to start a rebuilding effort. So that's part of what happened there. But I did want to talk to him about his decision to come back here, asked him a question about Arrowhead and the culture there. Chuck Delsman had reported in his column that he received a letter after the season when he left, sort of outlining a bunch of grievances, and that Mulling got that letter and took it to heart a little bit. So I kind of asked him about that. Arrowhead is right or wrong, given the perception as a school where parents are very involved, very eager, that might create a challenging environment for coaches. And I was kind of surprised by his answer. I'll let you listen to it. I think you should hear what he has to say about that. Kind of a difficult question to ask. I struggled with that a little bit. You can hear me stumbling over my words, but he was pretty frank, and I really appreciate that. So here, give a listen. Greg Mulling, the new head coach at Oconomowoc football. My guest is Greg Mulling, the new head football coach at Oconomowoc High School. You probably know him from his days at Arrowhead, when he led the Warhawks to four consecutive appearances in the state championship game. He won two of the four, and he's had one of the better five-year runs, I guess, in Wisconsin football history, and now he's coming back to the area to coach at Oconomowoc. So Kevin Flagner, the athletic director at Oconomowoc, was at Arrowhead when he hired you there. So I'm guessing you guys remained close, had a good friendship. And when this position came up, I'm guessing you were one of his first phone calls. How did this all come together so fast?
Kind of exactly what you guessed. I mean, Kevin and I you know, we've always talked, and, you know, and he'd check in, you know, and, on how things were going here and all of that, you know, just kind of back and forth. And this certainly wasn't anything that I don't think either of us was expecting. You know, Coach McMillan has done such a great job at Oconomowoc, and I think we all kind of thought, or I certainly thought he was a, you know, he's a fixture there. I wouldn't have anticipated this, but when he did leave, Kevin called, and, you know, it's something I'm really looking forward to working with him again.
Yeah, it kind of leads into the next question, just what your impressions were of the Oconomowoc program. They've been a little interesting. They were way up, then way down, then way up again. It's just sort of an interesting roller coaster. You didn't see them every year or anything, but what was sort of they've got newer facilities and everything. What was sort of your impression of them?
We got to interact with them a little bit in a 7-on-7 league one time, and you know, the first thing you notice, of course, is they've got good kids and, you know, aggressive kids, hungry kids. And again, obviously, Coach McMillan and that staff have done such a good job of keeping things going and, getting things going, I should say. And you know, in the community, it just seems like a strong community. And it was a place we spent actually quite a bit of time when we were out there before.
This is something people are going to recognize right away. Oconomowoc going into the Classic 8 Conference. You will now see Arrowhead every year.
Right.
I know when I talked about this with Kevin, he really doesn't want there to be too much emphasis on the former Arrowhead coach because, you know, he wants it to be about the kids, understandably, but that's going to be something that comes up at least this first year and probably for a few years after that. I mean, are you excited to see Arrowhead in the same conference or is that a little, how do you look at that?
I think we're excited for the Classic 8. I mean, it's just, top to bottom, it's just so, so difficult and week after week. And it's that whole iron sharpens iron type of thing. I think that's one thing the kids, the community will, I think, really get a kick out of, you know, and you just never know. I've never seen anything like that before where you can play, you know, in this case, it'll be 9 games because the crossover game for us will be Brookfield Central.
Like, right. Right. Congratulations, by the way.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, that's great. You know, but again, that's how you get better. And I really enjoyed my time at Arrowhead, you know, and the community support was awesome. And the kids were amazing. I learned so much from them. And one of the things I learned from them is competition just makes you better. You know, and they really showed that you can compete week after week and develop an edge.
So there is that aspect, and there are a lot of great athletes out in the Lake Country area in Waukesha County, but is there anything else that you can pinpoint that makes the Classic 8 from what you saw? And I mean, they're just above and beyond in football, and it seems like the fifth or sixth place team would be a team that could win a first-round playoff game if they had the chance to do it. I mean, how is this happening every year?
I think that there's such a culture, I just have always been really impressed with the coaching staffs, and I think the community, there's very high expectations, but I think, you know, you talk about, just winning cultures, you know, from, you know, what Coach Rux does at Waukesha West, Clay Iverson, over at McGuanago, I mean, it's just, you know, everybody. There's no let up. You know what I mean? And I think it's hard to imagine, like, just being able to just outclass somebody. You actually have to win. I know that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but the culture there, I guess that's what I'd say. It's unbelievable.
When you left Arrowhead and Kevin Flegner left Arrowhead shortly thereafter and Vince Mancuso, the baseball coach, he's actually at Oconomowoc as well. I think it's easy for us to draw conclusions that maybe the Arrowhead culture, maybe there is something to it where either it's overeager parents or just a sense that people are just getting a little too excited when it comes to athletics. We see this at every high school, but Arrowhead certainly has a really high bar and maybe that's part of it. I know that there are a lot of good kids, good families at Arrowhead as well, and I don't want to make it sound like you're painting with a broad brush, but is it unfair to say that there might be something at Arrowhead, just the way the expectations are laid out, that creates that atmosphere or that, you know, that is a laboratory for that sort of thing to happen?
I mean, I would respectfully say yes. I think that is unfair. You know what I mean? I really got to say I don't know that there's any difference in that regard. The parents that at least that we interacted with or I interacted with were, you know, were outstanding. You know, the parent level, the level of parent involvement is great. You know, and I know there was something after I left about, you know, letters or something. I mean, you get those everywhere you go. That's
right,
no big deal. And I tell you, you know, I will take heavily involved parents any day over uninvolved parents. So yeah, I do. I think that's sort of a reputation that the school has for the community has for some reason that I would disagree with.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, it's a great community, and you know, as I think all the communities around there are, I think they're just. You know, you talk about what the advantages are. Heck, I think that whole area is just stocked with really good people.
For sure.
You know, and I think that rubs off on their kids, and their kids are hard workers, and, you know, the whole Waukesha County and all the teams in the Classic 8. I mean, that's, you just see it over and over.
And you feel, because you're kind of uniquely situated to be able to speak to this because you've coached all over the country now. I mean,
sure.
Minnesota and Florida and Maryland. Do you feel that's still the case across the country? I mean, there's going to be a natural uptick in parent involvement as sort of the youth level becomes more and more advanced. But you still, from what you've seen, still feel like for the most part, when you get into a good football program, there is going to be a really positive culture regardless.
I do. I mean, and I think it's, you know, it's always that, what is it, that same percentage, you know, and everybody, you know, you always love that joke about the best place to coach is an orphanage and stuff, but that's not true.
I actually have not heard that before. I like that, but okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's 97% of parents. I think, you know, there's always going to be 3% that are a little off or we don't quite see eye to eye with, but I, you know, good communities have involved parents, and that's, I think, pretty standard. You know, and I think that's one of the appeals of, Oconomowoc as well. Like I say, that whole area, it's full of good people. And I, you know, Oconomowoc is obviously no exception to that. So looking forward to it.
I remember asking you when you were at the state championship game, kind of trying to get you to talk about what it was that you brought to the table that enabled Arrowhead to go on the run that it did, your coaching. You never wanted to answer that, understandably deflecting, and you had a lot of great athletes and great teams. But now that you were able to look back at four consecutive appearances and had never been done before in Division I at that point, do you feel like there's a skill set that you brought to the table that at least helped that along? I mean, I guess I'm asking what you feel your strengths are and were as a coach.
I don't know. Maybe if I do anything halfway decently, I think it's that I, hopefully allow the kids to, reach their potential. You know, I think of it as just holding up a mirror to them and getting them to recognize what it is they're capable of. But I mean, gosh, again, I'd say, you know, so many of those kids, I learned so much more from them, and the guys I coached with have been, unbelievable. So to be honest with you, most of the time I feel like I'm just kind of lucky to be in the right spot. It's some really amazing people.
Now that you've had a year away, I mean, does that resonate with you? Four consecutive state championship games is crazy. If Kimberly isn't doing what they're doing, it'll be remembered as the greatest run in state history, and it's still obviously, you know, number two or way
sure.
up there. So, I mean, does that ever strike you and you think about, man, that's incredible that we were able to do that with an entire generation of high school students?
You know, not particularly because, you know, we weren't very successful here. I wasn't very successful here.
Yeah.
This year. So, you know, that always stings a little bit. And then, you know, truthfully, the group we had at Arrowhead, obviously you want to finish on a win, but you know, that's life. So I need to grow up at some point and recognize, right? Only, you know, we always say only one team's happy at the end of the year.
Yeah. No, that's true.
You know, and so that's that. But no, I do appreciate. But you know what it is? When I look back, it's not that. It's that group of kids that we had and how much work they put into things. And, you know, just how determined they were and how focused and composed. And that's the really cool thing. And then you end up, you know, we always said the highlight was that they maximized their opportunities. They played every single game they could possibly play in 4 years. And that's neat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kevin pointed out something that is interesting. I know there's going to be a tension that there's a lot of people who were at Arrowhead who had Oconomowoc, but it's not like you guys are Arrowhead people that have grown up around Arrowhead. Right. In fact, all three examples are people who have grown up in other parts of the state, other parts of the country. I guess, is there just your relationship with Kevin, having worked with him before, do you think there's anything special there that enabled you guys to have a rapport or success that enabled you to sort of build the athletics program, the football program, the way that you were able to do? I guess the basic question is, what makes this relationship between you and Kevin work so well?
I have the utmost respect for him. And as I do for anybody I've worked for, but, you know, Kevin has just got a skill for managing things and creating, I guess, that, what'd you say, like the right environment, I guess, for people to be successful. He's incredibly supportive, but at the same time, you know, he has clear boundaries and expectations and all that. So, you know, that's always a big piece, right? That, you know, he's got your back, and you can try some different things and know that he'll support you.
All right. Well,
and I think that's what you're seeing with the other guys too, to be honest, and he is right. You know, I appreciate everything Arrowhead did and stuff, but, you know, again, we're not Arrowhead guys. We're people who worked at Arrowhead, and that's neat. But I think it's Kevin that is the draw.
Sure, of course. All right. Well, I appreciate you chatting with me. This is crazy. I imagine a year ago you didn't imagine you'd be coming right back to this place.
No, about 10 days ago. I did not.
That's a rapid turnaround, yeah.
Yeah. But, again, I'm looking, really looking forward to it. It's, you know, great people all over out there. It'll be fun.
All right, Greg, thanks very much. I appreciate the
time. All right, thank you. All right.
Thanks to him for chatting with me. Now, JP, let's shift gears a little bit. I wanted to ask you about something that we didn't talk about before we came on here, but I'm writing a column this week, about sectionals, which are coming up in spring sports, specifically in golf, tennis, and soccer. We've kind of touched on this before. There are a few sectionals in the Milwaukee area that are just loaded with talent. And to the point that and there are other Milwaukee sectionals that just don't have that same degree. In tennis, Marquette and Nicolet are in the same sectional. They've been in the same sectional since 2005. They've won the last 15 of the last 16 or 14 to 15 state titles. In soccer, four of the top five teams are in the same sectional. In golf, you've got three of the top five. I know we have kind of touched on this before, but I sort of bring up in the article that, would it really be a big deal to just shuffle around the Milwaukee area, treat it a little differently than other areas of the state where geography is wider? I don't know how you feel about that. They like to keep it same year to year, the WIAA does, to sort of preserve, give them comparables so that they know who to schedule in advance, who's going to be in their sectional. I don't know how you feel about it. Have you given it any thought?
Yeah, I mean, I know this is your crusade. I mean, this is your
I would not call it a crusade.
Oh, it is. It's this, and then seeding when it comes to state. Like, this is you want. Hey, it's a good thing. You want to find a better way. There's nothing wrong with that. So I think, excuse me, I think it matters, like, instance by instance. Like with the Marquette Nicolet tennis example that you brought up, you know, that's one that I'm pretty aware of. One year, I think it was maybe 2 years ago, I went and did a story on both Marquette and University School, because they were both two private schools that, you know, University School has an equal streak of winning the D2 tennis title. And just about, you know, how their dominance has played out and the private school and tennis and all that stuff anyway. So yeah, Marquette has won a bunch, and it doesn't really bother me that much that it's them and Nicolet meeting early. Like if Marquette's the best team, and they have been nearly every year, then I'm kind of fine with it playing out. However, the only thing you're robbing kids of, you know, if Nicolet is the second best team in the state, you would think that they should get that experience to go to the state tournament and to, you know, have their quarterfinal, semifinal wins and to soak that in. But to me, that doesn't, I don't know, maybe I've been hardened and my heart is much more callous than it used to be, but that doesn't bother me. As much as I think it bothers you. It doesn't necessarily matter to me if sectionals are loaded or if teams meet before they're, quote, supposed to meet, because that's just kind of the way that it is.
Yeah, I don't know for sure if it does bother me. I guess what I find interesting is It depends on your philosophy of athletics, really. It's to me, I call it opportunity versus excellence, which is not quite the right way it should be put, but that's sort of how I think of it. The WIAA's mentality is to get as much representation from around the state, different parts of the state as possible, which makes perfect sense. Of course it is. And that sometimes flies in the face of getting the best teams to state, which means there's going to be a concentration of great teams in the Milwaukee area, and there's going to be lesser teams from a different part of the state, or not. Maybe Milwaukee has the weaker team in wrestling. I think you could argue Milwaukee is the weaker set of teams. So inevitably, because of geography, weaker teams that are not necessarily one of the four or eight best in the state will get through to state. And maybe they don't even have to beat one of the four or eight best to get to state. Now, I don't have a problem with that on its head at all. I guess what bothers me is when I see the same sectional. In golf, there's a sectional that has produced 10 of the last 11 state champions. It's a Milwaukee area sectional. There are multiple Milwaukee area sectionals. Would it be so bad just to sort of like blow them up and sort of recalibrate them a little bit? Even if we're talking about strict geography, there is no strict geography here. You've got schools driving past each other to get to sectionals. So I don't think you can point to say, well, it's purely geography, because it's not. It's just how these teams happen to have been grouped for a certain number of years. And to me, I think Milwaukee should be treated differently, because that's another sort of philosophy, is that everybody in the state be treated differently. Again, of course, on its head, that makes perfect sense. But Milwaukee, Madison, Fox Valley and Green Bay to a degree, they're different. They're metro areas. You don't have to worry about geography. So don't worry about geography. Spread them out. I'm not even saying that you say, well, this is the best team and this is the second best team, so they should be in different sectionals. I am not saying that. I'm just saying mix it up a little bit, because we have enough
data.
But
that's what you would have to do. You would have to look at strength of teams. If you want to try and mix it up, then what if you mix it up in boys tennis, but you ship both Marquette and Nicolet over to the west side of the state or whatever, then it's, you still have your same problem, don't you?
Yeah, you're right. You do. And I guess
you would have to look at their, you would have to try and predict strength either at the beginning of the year, or you're going to have to do a seeding meeting at the end of the year where you're comparing teams that have virtually no common opponents.
Yeah, I'm willing to say that's a road I would personally investigate, but I'm not arguing that we should go that far. You're right. You blow them up and you start them over, there's a chance you have the exact same problem, and there's still four of the five soccer teams. But there's just as good a chance if you go on a 2 to 3 year rotation that you won't have that problem forever, or you'll only have it a few years. It just seems,
yeah.
Again, philosophy of athletics. It doesn't seem right as a fan of athletics that the two best teams in the state for the last decade and a half have to face each other before the state tournament. We think of the state tournament as the pinnacle. Well, it's not. It's not. And I don't think the WIA needs it to be. And that's fine. That's their viewpoint. I guess I don't even argue with it on its face. I just wonder sort of philosophically if Milwaukee could be treated a little differently.
Yeah, I don't think, surprisingly, I don't think you're terribly wrong. I mean, obviously you make really good points, and I see that. But as you were talking, like, I was thinking of literally the word regional and then sectional should mean that you're trying to take the best team from one region, put it up against another region, and then at that point you have, you know, four sections of the state, and you want to bring, you know, you want to see, all right, Marquette, and I'm sorry that we keep using this example, but all right, so Marquette needs to battle Nicolet to see who the best team in Milwaukee is. Then you'll take that team against the best team from a different part of the state, the top, you know, Northwest and then Northeast, and then those four will play state. Like, that's not a crazy thing to me that it happened. Well, I was going to say Kimberly and Homestead football that one year where there's no way they should have met before state, but because of actual seeding, which is your suggestion, because of actual seeding, you know, some people said they got seeded incorrectly or differently and they met before state. So to me, it's not that crazy of a thought that, listen, you're trying to find out the best team from each region and then put those regions up against each other.
My point, though, is that, yes, I agree with that. That's fine. But in Milwaukee, you could treat, there's, let's say there's two of the four regions are primarily Milwaukee area teams. You don't have to treat those two the same as the other two. Yes, you want, let's say, four corners of the state to be represented. Northwest, Northeast, but then the majority of the teams in the other two are Southeast. Okay, well, it doesn't matter which teams are where in these two sectionals. So every 2 years, blow them up, rejumble them, however the word is.
And I just think you're going to run into the same problem then. You're still going to run into the same problems.
I think you're right. I think you're right some of the time, and other times I'm not so sure. I just want to see something in place to try. Like, I just like the idea of trying new things. Yeah. I think one of the biggest dangers in sports is doing the same thing for years and years.
Yeah. Like, hockey shifts it a little bit. I mean, they're still very geographic, but there is some rotation. I have no idea what the procedure is, but I do know that hockey at least rotates it a little bit where you're not in the same sectional every year.
Yeah, some sports do. There is some rotation here and there, and obviously you're going to get natural stuff, especially at the lower levels as teams reclassify in certain divisions and stuff. You're going to get even one team moving could tip the scales a certain way geographically that you'll have teams moving around. But in Division One, that's less of a problem because especially here where all the teams are, you know, they're so close to each other that you could kind of keep things the same from year to year. And I just want to see something different. I want to see somebody. You know, I want to see Brookfield Central Soccer play Arrowhead at state, and obviously I understand why that's not ideal for other parts of the state, but I want to see the best two teams in the state play at state.
Yeah. No, and I understand, but I think the people need a real solution, JR. You can't just have these hypotheticals.
So what do you mean? It's all hypotheticals.
Come to me with something real.
My real solution is to have Milwaukee be the only schools invited to the state tournament. I'll just let's go all in on Southeast bias, right? Because we know I'm playing around with it as
and
it is.
Yes, and let's host every state tournament in Milwaukee, preferably on like a Monday afternoon that ends by about 5:30 p.m.
Love it.
Perfect.
Yes. Sorry to DC Everest and Eau Claire Memorial and all those programs that are exceptional at girls soccer.
Blah.
You can do your own thing. The Journal Sentinel Sports Awards, if you are not aware, they're coming up May 17th. That is a week from Wednesday, as we record this on Wednesday, a week from today. That's at the Pabst Theater downtown. Jordy Nelson will be speaking and will be presenting awards, Player of the Year, for all the various sports in the Milwaukee area, all the WIAA sports. Also, our Boys and Girls Athlete of the Year. We've got a couple special awards as well for courage, overcoming the odds. We've got, it should be a really fun night. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be in a suit. I'm going to be interviewing people on the red carpet, I think, and it's going to be really, really cool. A first-time event, inaugural event. So check that out. I got a story up right now on lakecountrynow.com. Cleats on the red carpet, it's called. You can find out the full list of nominees and a few more details if you're interested, including where to buy tickets. It is open to the public. Anybody can come. So check that out if you get a chance. JP?
Yeah, as long as you don't call it first annual, I'm fine with whatever you do.
Did I just call it that? I didn't.
You said inaugural, right? Exactly. And as long as you don't call it first annual, I'm fine with anything.
Right up there with the misuse of the word ironic as a major beef I have with people who misuse the English language. The other day, I used the incorrect version of your in a text message with Todd Rosiak of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel fame. And I am beside myself. I don't know how it happened. My brain just wouldn't even make that mistake. But somehow that's what showed up. And he called me on it, of course, because he's a terrible person, much like you are. And I feel so horrible about it because that is something I am so staunchly aware of.
Get out of my brain. My next sentence was the fact that my only grammar conquest in this world is to use the word staunch as much as possible. That is weird.
Did I just use the word staunch?
You did. Do you even know what you say?
No. Like I said, my brain runs my brain's grammar skills. They do their own thing. I don't pay attention.
This is why I don't want to have a second kid. My brain will just turn to mush like yours.
Yeah, that is 100% true. Okay. Never have a second child. That's my advice to everyone in the world, even though I love my daughter dearly.
At some point, I'm just going to start writing my own episodes of Paw Patrol since I've seen it for 5 times.
We could talk about that all day. We could do a Paw Patrol podcast of how we would reinvent the series because it would be very different under my stewardship, as I'm sure it would be yours.
Would we call it Pod Patrol?
Oh, JP, we're onto something.
I think it's already out there. It's probably already out there.
I don't know, but we need to get the trademark on that as soon as possible. We need to start doing this.
Pod Patrol. It's fantastic. All right, I'll work on some ideas.
What's coming up on Spectrum Sports this week?
You know what? This week I interviewed a player named Matt Holliday. Ever heard of him?
He plays, I believe, Major League Baseball.
No, that's the other Matt Holliday. The Matt Holliday I interviewed plays for Lawrence Baseball. He's their best player. He hit .374 this year and brought his career batting average down as a junior. So he hit like .416 last year and like .375 as a freshman. He's awesome. So One of their best players, an interesting prospect, bats and pitches for them, and also never lived in America until his freshman year. So
what?
You have to tune in to find out why.
That is interesting. You've got me hooked, JP. I'm interested in that.
Boom. And I hosted the roundtable today. So if you want to see more of my face, it was the Roundtable Millennial Edition with myself, Caitlin Sharkey, and Stephen Watson.
Oh, I wish I could have been a part of that, but y'all are even too young for me.
Yes, you're borderline millennium.
You know, I have never considered myself a millennial, and I was told that my birthday, that it's like 1980 is the birthday cutoff. I mean, I'm 2 years below that. I am old. How can I be a millennial? You don't have an answer.
No, I don't, because I don't know.
At LakeCountryNow.com, find the aforementioned column on the WIAA's process when it comes to sectionals and whether or not it is a just procedure. I don't want people to think that I am so in favor of redoing everything. I just like to ask the question in this case a little bit. I am probably in favor of it. It's not something that I would, that's not a hill I would die on, but I just think it's an interesting sort of pondering of what how the WIA looks at it and then what one of the byproducts are. So you can find that at LakeCountryNow.com. We also have our story, like I said, about the Journal Sentinel Awards. I've got a bunch of things in the can that I'm looking forward to talking about. Want to talk to some athletic directors that are retiring. There's a pretty crazy class of great athletic directors stepping down at the end of the year. Mike Novak of Brown Deer, Scott Kuge of Muskego, Greg Gomalski of Catholic Memorial are on that list. A lot of service time between the three of them, so hoping to get one or more of them on the podcast going forward.
That is a who's who of ADs around the area.
That really is impressive. Think about that. Think about those three guys. Like, Catholic Memorial is one of the empires in state sports right now. Muskego has had a ton of success, and Kugi's been there for a quarter century. And then Mike Novak is probably the most familiar of the three names. His son, of course, is Steve Novak. He coached him to the state tournament, coached a very successful basketball team there. But Brown Deer has, they've won two state basketball tournaments, not with him coaching, but with him as AD. And he's kind of one of the pioneers of the whole AD business in the state of Wisconsin. So it's a who's who, like you said.
Beautiful. Thank you for the tease of that upcoming story.
Yeah, well, it could be on the podcast is what I'm saying.
Well, that'd be even better.
I agree. All right, JP, continue to drive safely to your destination. Thank you for joining me on Initial Reaction.
Always. Talk to you soon, buddy.
Later.